Let's turn in the Word of God to the book of 1 Samuel. And chapter 7, 1 Samuel 7, and we're reading from verse 2. Samuel 7, verse 2, let us hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashereth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashereth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. May God bless the reading of his truth. I want us to think this morning from our passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7 on the subject of spiritual renewal or spiritual revival. The backdrop to chapter 7 is that the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence and the glory of God among his people Israel, had been returned to the land of Israel. It had been brought back to Shiloh, and then it had been brought to Kirjath-jearim. And God's symbolic presence was once again back in the land of Israel and amongst the people who bore the name of God. If you like, the Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God upon earth under the old covenant. It's where the covenant God, Jehovah, met with his covenant people in a unique and special way, where he would receive their worship. And it was to be on holy ground when the people of God, God's covenant people, gathered in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant to worship God, for the Lord was there. And in chapter 6 and verse 20, we read concerning the people standing before the Lord. Who can stand in his presence? The presence of the Lord, the Holy God. Now, the return of the ark marked, if you like, the beginning of spiritual renewal and spiritual revival for Israel. It heralded the continuing faithfulness of the Lord to his everlasting covenant with his people Israel. They had disobeyed the Lord. They had failed to keep his commandments. They had failed to worship God alone, and God's punishment had come upon them. But in this act, there was the beginning, the foundations of a renewal of the covenant people of God. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen the day the ark returned. There would be another 20 years of deep trouble for the nation. There would be another 20 years of oppression under the hands of the Philistines. But the people would begin to seek the Lord. We find that in our opening verses that we read together. The ark came, and it was there a long time. There was 20 years. But Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel and called them to return unto the Lord with all their hearts. There'd been a mind change amongst the nation that began with the return of the ark. But under the leadership, the godly leadership of Samuel and the call of God's word to that people, they began to seek the Lord. They began to mourn over sin. They began to repent of the sin and the disobedience and the waywardness and their lawlessness that had marked them out as a people. He said to them, if you are with all your hearts seeking the Lord. And there are two things that are crucial in the tense of the language, of the original language. And the first is this, that the people had been seeking God. He says, if you have been with all your heart seeking God. He says, if it's been genuine, if God has spoken, if God has awakened, if this is real and genuine, and the tense of the verb indicates that repentance had already begun, that people were mourning and lamenting over their sin, that people were calling and seeking again and returning to Jehovah God. But Samuel's call is also implying very clearly that that which seemed to be going on, that which had begun, needed to be genuine. It needed to be real, not superficial. We can recall the reforms under Josiah, and the people responded outwardly to those reforms, but there was no heart change. And Samuel is challenging the people here. He says, if what I see, if what I hear, if what I know, if it is genuine, then let it be from the depths of your heart. Let it be wholehearted. Return to the Lord, he says, with all your heart. It needed to be ongoing. It needed to be continual if they truly desired and would experience the blessing of God in their midst again. True heart repentance would also be seen. It would be marked by outward actions. He says, if this is real, then not only let it continue and let it be with all your heart, but he says it involves a putting away of the strange gods. And repentance and seeking God with all one's heart, if it's genuine, it's ongoing. And if it's genuine, it involves sacrifice. It involves putting away sin from our lives. And turning our hearts firmly to God alone. To serve God alone. Now, two things this morning that I want us to see from this passage. And the first is steps to knowing God's spiritual renewal. Steps to knowing God's spiritual renewal. The nation of Israel had come to a point where they had begun to seek the Lord and to seek him with repentance. It seems from the text of Scripture that this had been a work of God and that it had been a spontaneous response in the hearts of the people. It seemed to be that which had taken place in the ones and twos here and there. In a village yonder, in a town here, God's sense of presence in the return of the ark had spoken to the people. The Spirit of God had brought an awareness and a conviction to the people concerning their sin and their spiritual adultery and their seeking after and following after strange gods and serving them. And so in the ones and twos, and so in here and there throughout the nation, people were repenting and calling upon their God. And so the scene was set over a period of time. It seems quite a long period of time, even up to 20 years, that God's at work and the people are changing spontaneously as an awareness of God comes upon them. And it's setting the scene for one of the greatest gatherings and revivals known amongst God's people, Israel. For a scene when under the leadership of godly Samuel, they would gather together at Mizpah and they would, as a community, pledge their renewal and their renewed love and devotion and commitment to Jehovah alone. And so they gather together. And I want you to picture the scene this morning as that great nation of people, God having worked upon them, God having spoken to them, the people having repented, the people having sought the Lord. And Samuel having challenged them about the reality and the genuineness of that repentance and of that seeking of their God. Then calls them to gather together at Mizpah to worship God and in a covenant united act together to pledge themselves publicly to the service of Jehovah. And they would seal that covenant commitment again with repentance and with recommitment to the Lord God alone. And we see some strange things in verse 6 concerning that gathering together. As they gathered together, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted and they confessed their sins. We have sinned against the Lord. So there's this pouring out of water. There is the fasting. And there is the prayer, the confession of sin, and acknowledgement that they have sinned before God. And then there's an intercessory prayer by Samuel on behalf of the people. Now the outpouring of water is often used in the Old Testament as symbolizing the emptying, the pouring out of one's heart before God. And at the same time, acknowledging the need for cleansing from sin. So they would pour out water. You would read about it in Jeremiah and in other places where the people poured out water. It was a picture, if you like, of the pouring out of the emptiness of their heart. And a symbolic gesture of their need for cleansing and restoration before God. And the people were saying here in this act, like the water that we've drawn, and remember, water was very precious in the land of Israel. But they drew this water out at Mizpah, and then they poured it out. And it was full of symbolism. The people were saying, our lives have been like this water wasted. Their lives have been empty and poured out because of our sin and our waywardness and our disobedience to the word of God. They were saying, as your covenant people, we've not fulfilled our covenant responsibilities. We've been empty vessels. We've wasted our lives. We've wasted years of our lives and we have abused the privileges that are ours as your covenant people. It's there in the prayer. We've sinned against the Lord. But now they were saying, we seek your forgiveness. We seek your cleansing. And we seek, O God, your renewing power. Well, that's the first step in knowing God's spiritual revival in your heart. To acknowledge your sin. And to pray with all your heart. That God might forgive and that God might cleanse and that God might renew. But alongside that, the second step is this. They must turn to God. They had wandered away. They had been disobedient. They had been unfaithful. Serving. Can you imagine the futility of that? God's covenant people. Known and covenanted to the living God, the true God, have forsaken the true God to go after strange gods who are no gods at all. And to use their time and their energy serving false gods. And so if their repentance is real and there's a genuine confession and seeking cleansing from God, there must be a turning to God in wholehearted commitment. It's a picture of the gospel. Repentance and faith. They're the two sides of the one coin. If we're truly repenting of our sin, then we don't just simply repent and stay as we are. We turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ and seek that and receive that forgiveness of all our sins and that gift of salvation and life eternal that is found in Christ alone. And that's the picture here. These people and this gathering together were brought together that they might turn their eyes upon God. That they might fix their eyes upon God and God alone. They'd taken their eyes off him. And they'd sought other gods. But oh, they must seek God with all their heart and seek him alone. They must turn their eyes away from other gods. They must turn their eyes away from other things. They must turn their eyes away from themselves. And fix them on the Lord Jehovah. And that's the call of the Word of God to us. We must turn our eyes away from the things of time, from the things of this world, and we must fix them on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And when we do that, and we do it sincerely, and we do it genuinely, then self is abased. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Self is lost in knowing him. And in knowing him, we find ourselves. I wonder this morning, are there things that you need to put away? Are there priorities that you need to change in your lives? What we're thinking about with the boys and girls. Are we chasing after fool's gold? Are we consumed with the things of this life that on the appearing of Jesus Christ will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble? Do we need to put away sin? Is there sin in our lives? Is there disobedience in our lives? Do we need this morning not only to repent of those things, but turn to God in wholehearted commitment to God alone? We need to do that if we know God's revival in our souls. But secondly, I want you to see with me this morning the cost of following God. Here are a nation and they've been plagued by the Philistines. But now God's at work. And they've taken these steps in the grace of God to repent, to be cleansed and to be renewed and to turn their eyes upon God and God alone and to hear and obey and follow him only. But as soon as they do that, the enemy's on their heels. The Philistines heard. about this gathering together of the people of Israel at Mizpah. And the armies of the Philistines went up against Israel at Mizpah. And we read there, when Israel heard that, they were afraid. Maybe we fear the enemy. Maybe this morning we'd love to be more committed. Maybe we'd love to be in the place where we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Love to know that renewing touch of God upon our lives as those who have professed his name, but we're afraid of the consequences. The enemy was on their heels and came to attack. And I can say to you this morning, if God speaks to you this morning and you know in your heart, I must resolve to change my ways. I need to put away sin. I need to put away the things that have taken the place of Christ in my life. I need to seek that cleansing and that renewing and restoration to a right relationship with God. Satan's going to be on your heels, maybe before lunchtime. He'll be there. Satan mightn't bother you too much, for he's happy for the professing people of God to go through the motions of following Christ. But oh, if you're going to resolve to be serious and to live as God has called you to live in Christ, this is not something optional for select Christians. God calls every true child of God to live wholly unto him. And if he's here and he's calling and he's speaking, the enemy will be on your heels to resist you. But this people, though they feared, they engaged the spiritual weapons. And those spiritual weapons were threefold. There was prayer, a dependence upon God, which I suppose is prayer, and a commitment to leave themselves in the hand of God. And I suppose again that's captured in prayer. We have this great weapon. As we seek to step out and follow Christ as we ought to follow him, to serve him as we ought to serve him, the enemy's on our heels and the enemy will attack and the enemy will bring in 101 things to keep you from wholly following after God. But we have this weapon, this prayer that expresses our dependence upon God and leaves our lives and the consequences of following him with him. And God intervened and brought a mighty and wonderful deliverance to his people on that day. He delivered them not only in that day from the Philistines, but he delivered them for a generation from the oppression. The Philistines were utterly defeated on that day, and Israel had peace all the days of Samuel from the hand of the Philistines. We have a great God. We have a glorious God. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He sits upon the throne. Do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to step out this morning in repentance and in a wholehearted renewal of your commitment to follow him? God is our present help. He is our strength. And that very present help in time of trouble. Now Samuel acknowledged that great deliverance of God for his people by setting up a monument in that place. And it literally means he set up an altar and called it the Stone of Helping. And translated, it comes to the word Ebenezer, which means thus far or hitherto has the Lord helped us. This is ever the testimony of all those who have truly and wholly given themselves to God. They will know the attack of the enemy. They will know what it is to walk through dark providences. They will know the difficulties and the troubles and the temptations of life. But their testimony is ever this, hitherto, thus far, has God helped me. You remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 26 as he gives testimony to God's grace in his life, and he stands on that occasion and he says basically the same thing. This far, he says, through many dangers, toils and snares that the apostle had experienced as he gave himself to God, he says, but up until this day the Lord has helped me. Do you believe that? This step, this day marked the beginning of a deeper and fuller revival that came to the nation of Israel under the godly leadership of King David. Next chapter is them asking for a king. They get Saul, but that's not God's plan. God's going to give them a king called David, and he's going to lead this nation in the ways of God for some time to come. As we stand this morning and bring our message to a close, how have you lived for Christ over the past weeks and months, year or years? What have you been through during that time? I don't know. Maybe you've been through dark and painful and difficult days. But this morning, can you join together with the people in God and raise your Ebenezer and say, through it all, God has helped me. And will you this morning, in light of the goodness and the grace of God, will you resolve to repent of your sin and of putting other things in the place of Christ? Will you this morning resolve, with the help and the grace and the power of God, to put them away? And will you resolve this morning to rededicate your life to following wholly and fully after the Lord and serve Him only? Maybe you've not been serving God as you know you ought. Maybe your love and your devotion and your commitment to God has waned from what you once knew. Will you confess this morning that your life has been like spilled water, that you've wasted weeks in terms of God and His kingdom? In terms of the great spiritual reality and the great eternity that we will stand before Him. Wasted weeks, wasted months, wasted years of your life as spilled water. And will you pray this morning, Lord, revive me and give me back the years that the locusts have eaten? He can do it. For He's God Almighty. And He's gracious to do it. Maybe as you reflect back this morning, you know and you realize that you've neglected the place of personal prayer. You've neglected your Bible reading and your Bible study. You've neglected to come to the prayer meetings of the church, to the Bible studies. You've neglected these means of grace. Maybe over weeks and months and years, you've drifted to the periphery of church life. God has remained faithful to you. Is it not time this morning to acknowledge His goodness, to raise your Ebenezer, and as you do too, to resolve in your heart that you'll follow Him more fully, wholly, in the days that lie ahead? I'm sure as you look back as a church, you can truly raise together your Ebenezer. From the last time I was here, you've had a new pastor installed, and I hear you've been greatly blessed in his ministry, young and old. Thus far, through those long, maybe dark days of vacancy, but the Lord helped you. And the Lord brought you a man to shepherd the flock. But oh, this morning, would you resolve that you would know more of Him? More of His cleansing and renewing power. More of His blessing in the salvation of sinners. More of His blessing in the upbuilding of the saints. May you come to your personal mizpah this morning and seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek His cleansing and His renewing. And may you go forward into the future to live for Christ and Christ alone.